This podcast brought to you by Gowin Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
620 CKRM is proud to be your voice for everything ag. Welcome to SaskAg Today with your host, Ryan Young.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to SaskAg Today. It's brought to you by Milligan Bio, the leading buyer of heated and damaged canola in Saskatchewan, wants to buy your seed. Visit MilliganBio.com. On today's program, the provincial budget is set to be released tomorrow, but it may be a quiet day for the ag sector. More on that off the top of the show following the first break. Elsewhere, cattle prices were positive again last week, according to the cattle market update. And we also have additional reaction to the Lake Diefenbaker Irrigation Expansion Project. The farm weather with Phil Spivak is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour. Forecast is looking... normal for this time of year, I guess. Temperatures just below zero, and we'll leave it at that for now. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on the Voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM. Up first, following the break, is my chat with Grant McClellan of the Saskatchewan Cattlemen's Association. We'll hear why he thinks Budget Day tomorrow will be a quiet one for the ag sector.
This is SaskAg Today with 620 CKRM Ag News Director Ryan Young.
SaskAg Today is brought to you by Johnston's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection, and Farm Fresh Water. To fix your water problems, visit farmfreshwater.ca. The provincial budget, again, is set to be released tomorrow, but the CEO of the Saskatchewan Cattlemen's Association doesn't think there will be anything new in the budget for the agriculture side. Grant McClellan says many of the announcements have been made over the last couple of months.
We did see, of course, at the Sask Beef Industry Conference in January, the announcement of the extension of frozen lease rates on Crown land, as well as we saw the with crop insurance a couple weeks back that showed a significant expansion in that area. And of course, then just recently last week at SARM, we saw the irrigation announcements, both for smaller scale projects and for the expansion. So those were, I think, what we're really looking for this year. So of course, they've already kind of been announced. So don't anticipate anything too significant in the actual budget itself, but we're already pleased with those changes that have been announced.
McClellan did comment on Thursday's Lake Diefenbaker Irrigation Expansion Project announcement, saying it's going to help the livestock industry's future.
It being here in Saskatchewan and having the opportunity to expand our feeding sector and potentially to the point where we hope we'd like to get to in, 40 or 50 years, to have that be something that can catalyze a packing industry or further growth, like I said, of the cattle industry here in Saskatchewan. So it really is about water security, but at the end of the day, too, this is about securing the future of our industry long term.
He noted the cattlemen's worked alongside SARM to get the project back on the government's radar.
We're just pleased that the government is actually making a commitment to move forward with this, because there's been some real silence on this project for some time. And so we're pleased to see that the government renewed their commitment on that project.
Grant McClellan is the CEO of the Saskatchewan Cattlemen's Association. You're listening to Sask Ag Today. Coming up next is the weekly cattle market update. I spoke with Emily Taylor from the Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture to see how cattle prices did last week. We'll hear more right after this.
We're back with Sask Ag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
Welcome back to the program. Last week was a good one for cattle prices. Livestock intern at the Ministry of Agriculture, Emily Taylor, says most feeder steer and heifer prices were up.
All categories except for the 900-plus pound steers and the 300 to 400 pound heifers were reported this week. Saskatchewan feeder steer prices ranged from $475.17 per hundredweight, the 300 to 400 pound weight category, down to $329.61 per hundredweight, in the 800 to 900 pound weight category. Average prices for Saskatchewan feeder heifers were from $408.67 per hundredweight for the 400 to 500 pound weight category, down to $307.33 per hundredweight for the 800 plus pound weight category.
A lot of sales resumed last week after the snowstorm earlier this month.
Feed prices increased slightly from the week prior. However, strong futures markets are supporting feeder cattle prices.
There were 9,158 feeder cattle marketed last week, above the 3,547 feeder cattle marketed the previous week. Taylor says prices for market-ready cattle in Alberta were also up.
Prices of Alberta cows were up over the previous week. D2 cows averaged $162.44 per hundredweight, up $4.94 over the previous week, while the price of D3 cows increased 91 cents from the previous week to average $141.11 per hundredweight. The CanFax price for Alberta fed steers on the week ending March 15th was $234.25 per hundredweight, higher than the price of $232.97, which was reported on March 8th.
That's Emily Taylor with the Provincial Ministry of Agriculture with the cattle market update for the week ending March 15th. Coming up next on Sask Ag Today is AgriView with Doug Faulkner, as he'll take us through the latest agriculture news headlines, followed by Farm Precision Weather with Phil Spivak. He'll give us the latest forecast for today through the remaining work week. Keep it tuned here to 620 CKRM. Sask Ag Today will return right after these messages.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Today's Ag Review with Doug Faulkner of GX94 is brought to you by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamps Integra Tire in Grenfell, your locally owned Integra Tire dealers, and My Grain Exchange. Ready to market your 2023 crop? Head over to MyGrainExchange.com and try their low-risk grain auctions.
Unprecedented drought in British Columbia last year has prompted the provincial government to invest $80 million to help manage, collect, and store water for crops and livestock. Premier David Eby made the announcement, saying this summer's drought may be even worse than last year, as snow levels remain remarkably low. He says climate change-related events, particularly drought, make it tough for farmers to secure enough water for animals, feed, and crops, which makes grocery prices soar. The funding will be distributed through the Agricultural Water Infrastructure Program to help make irrigation more efficient and to build infrastructure to improve water availability and storage. The program was launched last year with a $20 million contribution for 108 water storage projects, including building agricultural dams and dugouts to improve water supply systems for irrigation and livestock. Speculators were busy covering some of their large net short position in canola in early March. That's according to the latest Commitments of Traders report from the United States Commodity Futures Trading Commission. As of March 12th, the net managed money short position in canola futures came in at 135,813 contracts, which was down by roughly 18,000 contracts from the record large net short position posted the previous week. Open interest in the canola market was down by 8,505 contracts on the week at 295,011 contracts. At the Chicago Board of Trade, the net short position in soybeans decreased by about 13,700 contracts due to a combination of short covering and new longs going on the books, coming in at around 146,600 contracts. Pesticides are increasingly under attack in the United States, and that is keeping farm leaders awake at night. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency recently proposed a herbicide strategy designed to bring the agency's registrations into compliance with the Endangered Species Act. Courts have consistently ruled that the EPA is not properly evaluating the impact pesticides have on endangered species, and the proposed strategy is the EPA's attempt to address those concerns. Josh Gackle, the president of the American Soybean Association, says they have no problem with the EPA meeting its legal obligations, but the policy must be something that could be implemented on farms, and that is not the case with the proposed strategy. A survey conducted by the ASA indicates 80% of producers would not comply with the EPA's proposal and would face moderate to extreme costs to become compliant. soybean production in Argentina for 2023-24, along with beginning stocks and imports, were revised downwards by the United States Department of Agriculture's attaché in the capital of Buenos Aires. In the report released by the USDA last week, the attaché estimated 17.2 million hectares of soybeans are to be harvested this marketing year. Based on projected yields of 2.88 metric tons per hectare, that's to reap 49.5 million metric tons of soybeans, a half million below the USDA's official estimate, which is based on the harvested area at 16.5 million hectares, with a yields of 3.03 metric tons per hectare. The attaché said the dry conditions Argentina experienced in January were largely responsible for the reductions, which were further compounded by the February rains. Those ranged from insufficient in some parts of the country, such as in the province of Cordoba, to excessive in others, such as the Buenos Aires and Santa Fe provinces. China has approved 27 genetically modified corn seed varieties and 3 GM soybean varieties, expanding its list of approvals as it aims to increase the development and planting of high-yielding crops. The varieties approved by the Ministry of Agriculture and Rural Affairs in a notice today include seed varieties owned by Debenong and China National Seed Group, a unit of Syngenta Group. China has for years moved cautiously on the deployment of GM crops, but in January said it will expand the planting of GM soybeans and corn after pilot projects showed good results in improving yields and lowering costs compared to conventional types of seeds. And that's today's Ag Review. I'm Doug Faulkner.
It's your Sask Ag Today weather on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM Farm Precision Weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. I'm here with Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. And Phil, the forecast is looking pretty good for today and for the rest of this week. Not too cold and not a whole lot of a chance for any flurries.
Yeah, there are some flurries still be in the air, but as you mentioned, not too cold. Now, it is going to be below normal, but certainly not what we'd call very cold. We're just running a little bit below zero. Typically, this time of year, we're right around zero, maybe just above. So we're a few degrees below normal, but without much wind. In fact, the winds are at their strongest today. As the afternoon goes on, even, they'll begin to diminish. And then by tonight, a much lighter wind. And that's what we'll take with us through most of the week. Minus two this afternoon, not a whole lot more movement. Stiff northerly wind at all levels, pushing in some cooler air. So we may even drop back a little bit as the day goes on. Falling off to minus 14 tonight. The wind north to northeast, 15 to 25, that will drop the wind chill to just a little under minus 20 into tomorrow morning, but a partly sunny day with a light wind through the day will be around minus 6. Cloud cover thickens up on Thursday. In fact, actually thickens up Wednesday night, and then it really thickens up on Thursday with some flurries coming in by the end of the day, minus 6. But as I mentioned, we're not talking about much snowfall here. We're talking a couple of flurries, not even accumulating snow, just some flurries in the air. Later Thursday, Thursday night, even early Friday, there could still be some of these nuisance-type flurries around, but pretty quickly we'll clear out through the day Friday. Some of us may clear before the sun comes up. The rest of us will clear through the morning. Minus 5 is the high on Friday, but there is still plenty of cool air, and we stay locked into this cooler pattern through the weekend, but a dry weekend in store. Saturday, the warmer of the 2 days at minus 6, backing off just a couple of degrees for Sunday and Monday.
Thank you very much, Phil. Normal highs for this time of year, plus 2. The lows, minus 10. The sun rose in Regina at 7:02 this morning, and the sun will set at 7:11 tonight. Taking a look around the province, in Assiniboia, minus 2. Estevan and Weyburn, minus 1. Mooseman, minus 5. Minus 7 degrees in Saskatoon. Swift Current, minus 3. Yorkton and Melville, minus 6 degrees. The warm spot in the province is in Valmarie at 2.7 degrees and the cold spot in Stony Rapids at minus 23.1. In Regina, it's a partly cloudy sky, north wind at 19 to 37 kilometers an hour, humidity at 66%, the temperature at minus 3 or 27 Fahrenheit, the barometric pressure at 102.3 and rising. In Moose Jaw, mostly cloudy, north wind at 22 to 31 kilometers an hour, and the temperature also at minus 3. Again in Regina, partly cloudy, north wind at 19 to 37 kilometers an hour, temperature minus 3 degrees. Coming up next on the show, we got a little bit more reaction to the Lake Diefenbaker Irrigation Expansion Project. Earlier on in the show, we heard from Grant McClellan from the Cattlemen's Association, and we'll hear from another group right after the break.
Catch up with all your ag news anytime at saskagtoday.com. Now, back to Sask Ag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
This portion of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers, where you're guaranteed the best buying and selling experience. McDougallAuction.com. The Mo government last week announced the go-ahead for Phase 1 of the Lake Diefenbaker Irrigation Project, but as chair of the Saskatchewan Irrigation Projects Association, Aaron Gray explains, the work actually began in the 1970s.
In the 70s, there was some earth moved and some canals built and reservoirs built at Conquest, Saskatchewan, and the pumping station by McCrory was there, but it only serviced about 3,000 acres because when the government changed hands, the construction stopped, and nothing has taken place since.
Gray says it took years of hard work and cooperation from many interested parties, including government, to reach this point, although federal cost sharing still remains to be finalized.
And right now, the first stage will be completing to Conquest to the reservoir and irrigating out of reservoir, and it should cover about 90,000 acres if it's all taken up.
And the tap-in investment for individual farmers is not yet known.
Any on-farm infrastructure will be 100% on the farmer's dollar, right? And so that will be probably per quarter, give or take, your $200,000. And then there will be a percentage that the farmer will be paying for the pipeline coming from the canal, which would be sharing the laterals, I would say.
Gray says, without a doubt, the livestock industry will benefit greatly from the Lake Diefenbaker projects ahead. Gray also covered the inevitable environmental-related questions.
Basically, what it's saying is there is less greenhouse gas emitted per pound of food grown under irrigation in comparison to per pound of food growing with dry land. And that in itself, it's been a three-year study, and that in itself is showing that this is an environmental win.
The Saskatchewan Irrigation Projects Association is one of several irrigation advocacy groups which have amalgamated. After April 1st, they will be known simply as Irrigation Saskatchewan. Coming up next on the show, and speaking of irrigation and water management, the Alberta government made a recent funding announcement. We'll hear how much they're spending and how it's going to be used right after the break. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on the Voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your Voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Degelman Industries. Look to Degelman for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumberyard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. Last week, the Alberta government announced it was dedicating $35 million towards beefing up their water management system as a way of battling drought. Part of the plan is to use current or create more wetlands as they work naturally to keep water in place. Alberta Environment Minister Rebecca Schultz says right now they're doing more research into the feasibility of the idea, along with any technical work that would be required.
We're looking at storage. We've also said that we would look at opportunities for hydro, better ways to manage water, either in droughts or floods. Ardley is one project that has been, I would say, on the list or been in discussion for a number of years. And so I think it's good to prioritize the work that's being done on that one as well.
On the wetland side, over the years, we've kind of seen a migration of wetlands from southern Alberta to northern Alberta, just because of the offsets that, and the way the program works. Does this new program, will that kind of reverse that? Will you actually be creating new wetlands or restoring new wetlands in southern Alberta as well as in the north?
You know, we are working with all nonprofit organizations, as well as community-based organizations, indigenous communities, municipalities, to expand wetlands, restore wetlands across the province. That's why in this year's budget, you're seeing a small increase to the program as well, so that we can speed up some of the work on that. We know, and I often get asked, will this help us for this year's drought? Of course, that work doesn't happen that quickly, but it is important for us to protect, I would say, against drought and flood for future years to come. So that's why we've seen that, I would say, expansion in this year's budget.
She does say they're still gathering information through their water advisory panel.
When we struck that panel, really, of course, the most urgent work is how do we get through the next number of months? How do we get through this growing season? It was important to us to make sure that we had representation from irrigation, from agriculture, from our major industries, as well as small and larger municipalities alike. We do want to look at how we might be able to work together to share best practices, how we might be able to encourage water conservation, how we can better understand of the water that is already allocated, how much is actually being used. What is free to share with others? I mean, that's part of our water allocation discussions that we're having right now to help us get through the next couple of months, especially in southern Alberta. But it's good information to have. Are there areas where we're an outlier in terms of water use compared to other jurisdictions? And again, then, you know, if we are an outlier, how might we encourage that conservation so we can actually maximize the water that we have available in our province, whether that be to support residents or our growing major industries. So I think it's a little bit too early to tell, but I can already say that our water advisory panel has met. They're bringing forward very specific ideas of policy changes that might be able to be made, regulatory changes that might be able to make, how we might be able to speed up some of the projects that we're working on. I've often used the conversation or the example of Pincher Creek and how we've worked with that community to meet their unique needs, how we found an interim solution by moving their water intake valve, how we could speed up the construction on actually getting them access to the aquifer below groundwater. If there are ways that we can speed those processes up, we want to hear that from our major partners. And I know on the town halls, we also opened it up to any water user on those calls who has ideas of how sometimes it's regulatory barriers are getting in the way of our major industries doing the right thing and be able to reuse and conserve water. We need that information from our major water users so that we can better plan for the future.
That's Alberta Environment Minister Rebecca Schultz. Coming up next is the market update, and in early trading, some positive movement for some commodities. Find out which are they and how much of an increase they experienced, for lack of a better phrase, right after the break. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on 620 CKRM.
Here's the market update with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
Market update is brought to you by Nelson GM in Assiniboia and Avonlea. Looking for the perfect vehicle? They'll find a match that exactly fits your agriculture lifestyle. Proudly serving southern Saskatchewan for over 60 years. Grain prices at Viterra were up in early trading today. Canola is up 20 cents to $5.93.32 a metric ton. And number one red spring wheat is up $1.70 at $2.98.62. The rest were unchanged. Durum, $3.87.37. Feed barley, $2.25.58. Chickpeas, $9.92.08. Flax, $6.06.04. Lentils, $7.21.50. Oats, $2.76.32. Yellow peas, $4.37.98. And feed wheat, $2.12.38. On the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, hard red spring wheat for May is up 3¾ cents at $6.54.5 a bushel. Up next is the Livestock Report.
The Sask Ag Today Livestock Reports on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn Livestock at 842-4574. Now here are the latest livestock quotes.
This is the market report for the Weyburn Livestock Exchange for the week of March 19th. Our last regular sale was on March 13th. D1 and D2 cows sold from $1.54 to $1.84. D3 cows sold from $1.34 to $1.50. Canter cows sold from 80 cents to $1.10. Heiferettes sold from $2.05 to $2.39. And good butcher bulls sold from $1.75 to $1.95 with the odd sale up to $2. Our last pre-sorted sale was on March 11th. 450-pound steers averaged $4.63 and sold up to $4.96. 450 to 500-pound steers averaged $4.67 and sold up to $4.96. 500 to 550-pound steers averaged $4.52 and sold up to $4.77. 550 to 600-pound steers averaged $4.28 and sold up to $4.52. 600 to 650-pound steers averaged $4.06 and sold up to $4.37. 650 to 700-pound steers averaged $3.91 and sold up to $4.14. 700 to 800-pound steers averaged $3.59 and sold up to $3.91. 800 to 900-pound steers averaged $3.35 and sold up to $3.51. Heifers were about 40 to 50 cents back from the steers. This has been Stephanie Daig reporting from the Weyburn Livestock Exchange, the market that gets cattle and the prices too.
And here are the latest pork prices.
Bill Alford with the Hams Market Commentary for Tuesday, March 19th. Hams sold 7,800 hogs Monday, selling a range of $199 to $214 per CKG. Today's sales are expected to be around 7,300 head, selling a range of $199 to $213 per CKG. Hams cash hog price today is mixed and forward contract prices opened lower this morning. On Monday, the Canadian dollar was down 4 basis points, with the daily exchange rate at 1.3541. The Canadian dollar is currently trading at 73.83 cents U.S. Lean hog futures are notably lower, with most contracts completely erasing the gains seen in the previous Monday session. It is too early to tell if this is reflecting a change in investor sentiment, but the move today is highly suspected to be attributed to profit taking by institutional traders. It is also too early to determine if this will be a trend for the remainder of the week, but so far the pressure has subsided and is leveling out between 0.3% and 1.75% lower compared to yesterday. Interestingly, Canadian forward contracts have seen some support depending on the time frame observed. Why? The Canadian dollar has dropped almost 0.4 of a cent U.S. The reason for the pressure is due to a surge in the 10-year U.S. Treasury yield, which has strengthened U.S. dollar. As a result, the Canadian dollar has come under pressure. The Canadian dollar is still trading within its recently established range, however, but this morning's pressure has resulted in an additional $1.10 Canadian per CKG to the value of a Canadian forward contract.
Coming up, the Resource Report.
It's the SaskAg Today Resource Reports on 620 CKRM. Here's Ryan Young.
Statistics Canada says the annual inflation rate fell to 2.8% last month, despite forecasters who had widely expected an acceleration in price growth. The federal agency says the slowdown was driven by lower prices for cellular and internet services, as well as lower grocery price inflation. Canada's inflation rate was 2.9% in January. Prices for food purchased at stores in February were up 2.4% from a year ago, marking the first time grocery prices rose more slowly than overall inflation since October 2021. The Bank of Canada's preferred core measures of inflation, which strip out volatility in prices, also fell last month. Meanwhile, housing costs continue to put upward pressure on inflation, with mortgage interest costs up 26.3% and rent up 8.2% annually. On the markets, the TSX is up 70 points at 21,907. The Dow is up 271 points to 39,061. Oil is up 82 cents at $82.98 per barrel, and the Canadian dollar is at 73.70 cents U.S. That's the Resource Report. If you missed any segment of the show, you can tune in to the on-demand Sask Ag Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. You can also find the podcast at SaskAgToday.com and at 620ckrm.com. That's going to do it for Tuesday's edition of Sask Ag Today. I'm Ryan Young. Have yourself a nice day.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.